Okay, let's open our Bibles. We'll start tonight in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We started looking, if you remember, we started last week looking into this matter of what the Bible says about mental health. And my first point last week was all we need is the Bible. And I gave you several references there. The second point was, why would you believe scientists who go against the Bible? And my third point, which we'll discuss tonight, is this: physical health is never promised in the Bible. Physical health is never promised in the Bible. Isn't it great living in Kuwait? Wherever you are here, you can find a pharmacy that has something for whatever hurts, and it's fast acting, and I like that. I like an option, choice of headache remedies. I like a choice of things I can rub on aching joints and muscles. I like knowing that if I'm really sick, I can find a doctor who can write me a prescription for what's wrong. And if I'm not really sick, I can find a doctor to write me a prescription for what isn't wrong. It's Kuwait. It's a great country. But because the thing is, because we have instant coffee and instant tea and drive-through hamburger places and all that kind of thing, we have come to believe that I'm supposed to feel good every day, every minute of the day. Well, I'm telling you, you didn't get that from the Bible. I'm supposed to be happy every day. You didn't get that from the Bible. I'm supposed to be on top of the world every day. You didn't get that from the Bible. And so if I'm not happy, somebody's got to do something about that right now. They either have to change the laws of the land, or they have to change the rules regarding debt payment, or they have to change the requirements to get into college, or they have to change the price of college, or they have to, the whole world has to be changed so that I don't have to type critical comments at the end of those news articles. This is not right. And you think your comments are going to make someone in the government go talk to the president and get him to fix the thing that you don't like? Well, I sent an email to my congressman. And then what? He got off his yacht to come in and read your email so that he would know what to tell the lobbyist who's paying him $500,000. Well, mister, I was going to take that $500,000 from you, but one of my constituents said I would be a compromiser. So you'll just have to take your money and go because I answer to my constituents. I don't think so. Do you believe that? If you do, you're mentally ill. But we want to get up every morning and be happy every morning. And how are you going to do that with arthritis? How are you going to do that with a child out in the world away from the Lord? How are you going to do that with troubles in the church and troubles on the job and troubles at home? It is not a real world that you're being offered. And the only way you can have that world that you desire because of your addiction to television and movies is to be medicated out of your mind. Because if you're in your right mind, this world is a terrible place, and God wants you to deal with it. Okay, so let's pick up where we left off. Physical health is not promised in the Bible. Let's try this here. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Bible says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body." Well, how long do you think that's going to hold up? I mean, what can I do to help you live without pain, without sickness, without suffering when you're in a vile body? You know what the Bible said the hope was for your body? It's Christ coming and changing it. So somebody tonight is disappointed with God because their TV preacher told them that God promised them perfect health. Well, he's a liar. They were lied to. They believed the lie, and now they're mad at God. He told you it's a vile body. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Ready for this one? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I know this is very encouraging tonight. 2 Corinthians 4. I live in a world. I live in a real world. I don't live in Disney World. The real world's a different place, you're going to see. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I hope you can see that. Do you live in a body, the outward man? Well, guess what it's doing right now? It's dying. It's not evolving. It is not getting younger. It is not getting stronger. It is not getting faster. It is dying. It is perishing every single day. It's pretty clear from the Bible anyway. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 8. Here's one that'll cheer you right up. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Of what? Of corruption. Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Look at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Okay, so the physical body, pain, groaning, trouble, breaking down, that's just the Bible fact. God's not trying to hide that from you. In fact, look what Jesus says in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 31. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Okay? Does everybody see that? Physical. Are you sick physically? Do you know what you need? If that's the case, you need someone who can care for your physical body. Okay, so what am I trying to show you here from the Bible? Your physical body. God did not ever promise you it would be healthy, it would be well, that it would stay healthy, that it would stay well. And if you are physically ill and cannot get well, God, he has not betrayed you. He has not forsaken you. He's not broken any promise that he made to you. The only hope for your body, as I've already said, is for Christ to come and change it and make it like his. Fair enough? So that's the physical body. Now, by contrast, let me show you what the Bible says about mental health and mental expectations. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Are you saved? I know you can't answer me now, but do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Think about that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Okay, then what What has he given us? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you see that? Okay, now that doesn't mean that every saved person is of a sound mind. Okay. Didn't you have a spirit? Doesn't the Bible say you were your spirit, soul, and body? Well, when God saved you, didn't he give you another spirit? See, I didn't say he took away your spirit and replaced it. I said he gave you another spirit. Isn't that true? Now, did you not receive the Holy Spirit when you got saved? Well, okay. Do you think the Holy Spirit is powerful or impotent? He's powerful. Do you think the Holy Spirit is afraid or is he confident? He's confident. Do you think the Holy Spirit is suicidal or loving? He's loving. Do you think the Holy Spirit is wacky or do you think the Holy Spirit is possessed of a sound mind? Okay, so when I got saved, I did not instantly become a spiritual giant producing all the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and everything else. But I was given a Holy Spirit that produces gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, correct? So getting saved will not in 24 hours fix all of your mental and emotional problems, but God has given you his Holy Spirit and his mind is sound. And you have available to you the mind of Christ. Now, does that mean that all saved people are loving? No, but they could be. Does it mean all saved people have peace? No, but they could. Does it mean all saved people are possessed of power and love and of a sound mind? They are. They're possessed of it. They just haven't all learned what to do with it. God gave you a spirit that is sound in mind when he saved you. What you need are people teaching you how to develop that sound mind instead of people continuing to try to convince you that all you have available to you is that broken mind. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. See, the people that teach you, oh, don't go by the Bible, they're viewed in Scripture as the enemies of your mental health. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, hey, watch this, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're rational people here tonight, almost all of us. We're intelligent people here tonight. Would God ever put in the Bible and say to a congregation of people, I am telling you to get that cancer under control? No, you have no promise of physical health. God never says in the Bible, all right, all you people born with an inability to produce insulin, I'm telling you, you need to rebuke that thing and get it under control. No, that's not in the Bible. If you were born with your hands all twisted around, you were born with clubbed feet or something of that nature, Where is the verse in the Bible that would tell you to get that under control, to fix that yourself? It's not there. You know why? God does not expect you to bring yourself into physical health because it cannot be done. You know what he said? If you don't have control of every one of your thoughts, get at it. I expect you to capture those thoughts. Do not follow them. I expect you to imprison those thoughts, not become a victim and say, oh, I just can't help it. These thoughts, they just come into my mind. Well, of course those thoughts come into your mind. They come into everybody's mind. God commands you to do something proactive and wage war against thinking that is not correct. Wage war against thinking that is not correct. Where is the verse that says, hey guys, get on that receding hairline right now? That's not commanded. Hey sister, come on. What, the dentist? Are you kidding me? You get your own teeth under control. That's not in the Bible. But for you to sit around and say, oh, I just can't help it. I just think bad thoughts all the time. God told you to find out how to help it, that thing, that situation. And if you can't do it on your own, get with some people that can help you to help it. Now listen, all I'm saying tonight is that God does not approach a broken mind the same way he approaches a broken body. He does not offer you any way out of physical defects and of the eventual dissolution of your body. But he does expect you to actively try to wage war against thoughts of anger or harming yourself, harming others, or depression or despair or anything else that is contrary to the Christian life. He does not expect you to surrender to that, but to go to war and fight against it. Now, whatever you have to do to get to the place where you're ready to fight, I'm not going to interfere with that. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I just want you to stop surrendering before you even begin to fight. And some of us have disadvantages. I understand. Some people have disadvantages that other people don't have. That's pretty clear. But I mean, if you come from a broken home, it's hard for you to grasp things when we start talking about child raising. I understand that. If you've been betrayed by a spouse, it's harder for you to come to terms with this love and trust in relationships. I get that. If you were born into poverty, well, life was very different for you than it was for people born into wealth. I get that. And if your mom was crazy and your dad was crazy and your grandmother was crazy and your grandfather was crazy, I mean, you've just been around crazy people all your life. Well, yeah, you've got a real disadvantage. That's true. But have you been born again? Do you not have a heavenly father? Do you not have the Holy Spirit? Then at some point in time, you've got to stop giving all the credit for your mind to your natural born parents. And you've got to, at some point, start letting God have some control over what you think and how you think. And I'm not saying that those things to insult you or to criticize you. I'm saying that to encourage you to stop giving in to what the shrink who believes his grandparents were apes tells you is inevitable. Now, a little bit of history here, and then we'll finish up. I am told, and you've probably heard it too, that people riot, people kill, people loot and steal because they live in poverty. And I'm told that people commit all kinds of heinous crimes because they're not well educated. And I'm told that people do some of the things they do because of racial inequality. And I'm told that a lot of the devilment that's going on out there is because of difficult experiences that people have had, maybe in a war situation or a battlefield situation, something like that. Well, the country where I grew up, the US of A, let me give you a little bit of history there. That country experienced in 1917, 1918, in the First World War, it experienced mass warfare, chemical warfare, trench warfare, death by bomb, death by automatic rifle, death by disease, death by chemicals, to the millions. And people came home from that war, and guess what? They didn't burn down cities, and they didn't shoot up theaters, and they didn't sit on the street corner begging for money all their life. Then our nation was plunged into a Great Depression. That was about 1929 to 1939, when somebody finally figured out that the way to end the Depression was to build bombs and tanks and planes and guns and missiles and grenades. And if there's not enough food to go around, well, maybe if we killed 60 million people, there'd be enough food for everybody. But in that Great Depression, the government rationed butter and rationed milk and rationed sugar. And you went to the store, and if there was food, you were told how much you could buy and no more. And during 6 years of near starvation from border to border, coast to coast in the US of A, you did not see any gang violence. There were no home invasions. There were no stabbings at the bus stops, shootings at the theater. During those years, very few people had a college education, and not a large percentage of people had a high school education either. It's tough to go to school when you're trying to scrape together enough food to make it to the end of the week. So when somebody says the problem in America today is economic, I don't buy it. When you tell me the problem in our country is lack of educational opportunities, I don't buy it. You can go to school now for 16 to 18 years for free, unless you're working for a living. Then you got to pay for it. You say, well, the problem now, the reason we got all this rioting and violence and everything is it's racial inequality. There is no racial inequality in America. Anybody of any race can utilize any facility, stay in any hotel, shop in any store, go to any theater, et cetera, as long as they got money or a credit card. Back in the days when it was a real thing, back those days of segregation, back in the days when you couldn't work and you couldn't live in a neighborhood, couldn't go to a school and couldn't walk into a public building if you were not the right color, people were not burning down cities. They were not shooting policemen. Americans are not crazy because they're hungry. They're not crazy because they lack education. They're not crazy because they've seen war and conflict. They're not out of their minds because of racism. No, the cause is that they have rejected God. And without a knowledge of God, their thinking is so fouled up that they have no control over it. And their emotions are so chaotic and unstable that nobody knows what to do. And until individuals or the nation as a whole begins to trust God and the word of God again, it is just going to get farther and farther and farther into insanity. Nowadays, teenage girls who are virgins and who wear dresses are weird. And teenage girls who buzz their head and say, I'm a boy, they're celebrated. You know what that is? mental illness. It is mental illness. These days, if a boy stands on a street corner and holds up a Bible and tells people about Jesus Christ, people say his parents are nuts and that the state should take that child away from an abusive situation. Yeah. But if a boy robs a store and shoots two people to get drugs, well, he's the subject of our sympathy because society didn't provide for him like it should have. Are you kidding me? We paid for five generations of your mothers to have babies without ever working a day in their life. Don't talk to me about society not providing for you. Who in their right mind looks into a camera as her son is cuffed and hauled away for shooting three people in the face to get candy bars and cigarettes, and she says, "He's a good boy." You're insane, lady. You're insane. The reporter is insane. The producer is insane. The people watching the news are insane. You're out of your minds. Well, he never done nothing wrong until today, and it's probably because nobody's been treating him right. Stop saying such stupid things. The whole country is insane. Now, you people, on the other hand, who pay your bills and work your jobs and keep your children out of prison and off of welfare, and you're not kicking in doors and you're not grabbing old ladies' purses in the parking lot, you are the weirdos. And the people walking down the street with their pants halfway down their thighs and their hair sticking up like a rooster that got electrocuted, chains hanging out of their ears and their nose and their cheeks and their lips and their eyebrows, well, they're enlightened. My country is absolutely out of its mind. And the people that were trained in their universities to make fun of God and make fun of Jesus and make fun of the Bible and make fun of Christians, hey, I'm going to think twice and a third time before I let them medicate me out of my mind. See, that's all I'm saying. Have you tried living by the Bible? Have you tried doing what God says about your thoughts, about your guilt, about your fears, about your sorrows, about your shame? And if you haven't done that, well, you might find a temporary reduction in the acute level of your symptoms, but you're not going to find a way out, okay, through those drugs they keep trying to shove down your throat. Are you dealing with guilt? You got to find somebody who can take your guilt away. Are you dealing with shame? You got to find someone who can teach you how to live that's not shameful. Are you dealing with sorrow? Maybe you ought to get acquainted with the man of sorrows. Okay? Well, I'll say this the best I know how. Really, I mean it. I'm going to say this the best way I know how. Compared with just about everyone I know, my life has been so easy. My dad is sane, and he worked a job and provided for a wife and five kids. My mother is sane and did everything she could do for us. My sons are sane. My brothers and sisters are sane. I don't have cancer. I haven't lost my children. The only shocking thing that's happened to me recently is I lost my wife to COVID-19 on April 19th, 2 years ago. I'm just telling you, my life's been fairly easy. But I'm telling you that God's word, every time I've ever tried it, has proven itself to be right. Amen. And I'm just asking you to be as willing to try God's word for your depression or your anger or your confusion or your guilt or your sorrow. I'm just asking you to be as willing to try God's word for that as you are to try the unproven theories of psychiatrists and psychologists, when really all they're doing is experimenting on you. Next time you go see your shrink, when you walk in and sit down, say, "May I ask you something? Who have you ever cured?" Not who have you helped, not who have you calmed down, not who have you leveled out. Who have you ever cured? Because the answer is nobody. Well, man, if you went to a medical doctor and everybody who went to that doctor got progressively worse or no better at all, well, wouldn't you try another doctor? But they never offer you a cure. What they do is they offer you a sedative. They offer to numb you. Well, now, again, like I told you last time, don't go and flush your medications down the toilet. The fish can't handle it. They're already kind of weird. I'm not telling you to stop taking anything. I don't want you to stop taking anything. And if you do everything the Bible says and it doesn't work, well, then you are among those that the Bible says are feeble-minded, and so we are to comfort you. But until you have done everything the Bible says for you to do, we are not going to surrender your mind. Okay? Let's try everything God has for you before you give up and say, "I'm defeated. I'm just gone." Now, we've been fortunate that all the people who've attended this church over the past 27 years, none of them had their minds so broken that they had to be institutionalized. In fact, I would go so far as to say we've had some fairly level-headed people with us in the church all along. These are people who didn't get divorced and didn't commit suicide and didn't kill somebody and didn't give up because they found a way from God to get victory over that thing that was wrecking their life. Would you give the Lord a chance? Do whatever you got to do in your heart right now. Be willing to give the Lord a chance. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, that you have given us a sound mind. We thank you, Lord, that we have your Holy Spirit whose mind is always sound and he's always with us. We have access. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us your holy word that explains to us, gives us all the direction we need to have that sound mind, to develop it, to be able to have the fruits of the Spirit start to show up in our lives from that sound mind. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to trust you more, trust your word, trust what you say to be the very, very truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.